You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, how are you today, Mfundisi?
Speaking, but it was muted.
Yeah, no, that's all right. Mfundisi, today we're talking about the final showdown. The very idea of a showdown makes me think of a movie. Hollywood's nothing on this. I mean, I can tell you now, a global showdown, supernatural signs and decisive split between truth and deception. My goodness, it's a saga. I can imagine the trailer even now. The great hope, however, it pulls no punches about what's coming. But it also reminds us that God doesn't leave his people unprepared. So that's what we want to talk about today. We want to find out how we stand firm. How can we, how do we stand firm when the heat gets turned up? And joining us now, like I said, is Pastor Gregory Serafe Sarefo. There you go. Let's jump right in. One of the main elements of the final crisis outlined in the Great Hope.
Pardon me, I didn't quite get that.
What are the main elements of the final crisis outlined in the Great Hope?
All right. When we go into scripture, scripture is very beautiful. Sometimes when we go into the Bible and into Bible prophecy, we look at it and sometimes we are tempted to see it as speaking nothing but doom and gloom. You know, we look at it and we hear of the end times and we read about marks of the beast. We read about scripture. We hear of great dragons and all these terrifying imageries. And we are then tempted to think that the end times spell nothing but doom and gloom. But at the end of it all, we see that there is, though the devil may play his part, though he may bring about his devices together and try to disrupt the people of God and the plan of God, we see that at the end of it all, we see now that here is a God who stands triumphant. Here is a devil who is bound, who is cast into prison. And here is a God who stands victorious at the end of it all, who liberates and rescues his people out of the tribulations that they have gone through and that they go through under this sun. And God stands victorious. We see the New Jerusalem descending, and we see liberation at the end of it all, and we see great joy as the tears are wiped from the eyes of God's people.
That sounds very, very poetic. I'm listening to you narrating it. It sounds very poetic. We may very well employ you to be one of our scriptwriters in this saga, in this movie. All right. So I hear you and I understand. However, I'm curious, how does the Bible narrate this battle between worship and loyalty manifest in practical ways? When you're looking at the Great Hope, what does it say? How does the battle between worship and loyalty manifest in practical ways?
Yeah. I think we experience when we read about it and we live it at the face value of the Bible says this. This will happen, that has happened, this is yet to happen. Some of it, like you're saying, when it's spoken of, it sounds like we are in a whole cinema and we are watching a movie. You know, but we experience this battle in a very practical sense in our daily lives. You know, we find ourselves, I usually give an example and say, you know, in Sichuan would say, Belotsami debate. That's to say, translated in the English, literally, it's like I have two hearts. One
Okay.
heart tells me go this way.
Yeah.
One heart tells me go the other way.
Okay.
You know, we are conflicted with another.
Are you still there, Pastor? No, he's not. All right. The network is dipping again. I'm hoping it will come back up again. Pastor, are you there? I don't know if you can hear me, Pastor. We are not able to hear you. It's, yeah. Mfundisi, are you there? I can now. I can now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
You are clear.
Okay, continue, Mfundisi. You were interrupted there. The network was not being kind to us. Please continue. We can hear you now.
Yeah. There's someone who's trying to reach me, so that's what disrupting the network.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Anyway, let's continue.
Yes.
And I'm saying we continue experiencing it, in other spheres of our lives. We get out into the society. We get into the communities within which we live and exist, and we find many, let's take it from yesterday's conversation regarding worship and regarding the Sabbath, that there are obstacles and stumbling blocks that are put before many people who endeavor to be loyal to God,
right,
and who begin to find this delight in keeping the Sabbath, and that they're told, no, if you want this job, you have to work on the Sabbath. If you want to pass this exam, you will have to come and sit for your exam on the Sabbath, you know. And that's just one of many ways in which God's people who endeavor to be loyal to
right,
God, who
right.
endeavor to be faithful in their work with God, continue to face or find themselves on the receiving end of that text of the devil, you know.
Talk to us about how we need to evolve as Christians. What character traits will be essential for God's people to survive spiritually?
Yeah, you know, one of the most crucial, I believe, is that of faithfulness. When
okay.
when we go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it tells us that moreover, it is important, it is crucial even for the stewards of God to be found faithful. And you know, God calls us to faithfulness because he too is a faithful God.
Right.
The same book of Revelation that tells us of the end times and this great controversy and its unfoldings, it tells us that these things are said by the faithful, the true, you know, the amen. It's telling us that God is faithful, to be faithful to him, and not only and our faithfulness is exemplified or is revealed in the dedication to which we give our studying of faithful in studying the scriptures, faithful, because in fact that very text that I referred to in First Corinthians, read in its context, it's talking about faithfulness to the gospel truth that we have. It says being words of the mysteries of God, we ought to be found faithful.
Right.
Faithful in upholding it in our own lives, because you know sometimes we are the stumbling blocks. As the very so-called adherents of the truth, we become the stumbling block in the way of the gospel being advanced and securing other people and being a shield for other people in these end times. We do not stand as the right representatives of truth.
Okay, let's talk prophecy. How does prophecy help prepare us without causing us panic?
You know, I think it goes back to to where we started, in that prophecy has already, yes, it tells us us about the beast and the persecutions and tribulations. However, at the end of it all, it shows us God triumphant.
Okay.
It shows us the children of God living with him throughout eternity, where there's no more weep, there's no more crying, and there's no more heartache and all of that. So in that prophecy, is inspiring us with hope. It's filling us with hope,
okay.
The hope of God, Christ coming again and redeeming his people. So even as we see the beast, even as we hear of the mark of the beast, we hear the persecutions, we hear of not buying and selling and all of those things, we are inspired with the hope that at the end of it all, we know the end. We have read prophecy and it has revealed to us that at the end of it all,
right,
God conquers. Those who are on God's side are assured of this victory. It is not a 50-50 thing, as in let's get into it and see what comes of it at the end. We already know the end of it all.
Right, right. And so is there anything that we could do as people to prepare for that eventuality? I mean, what can we do? If there is, what is it? What is it that we can do today to spiritually prepare for what lies ahead?
I think it all lies in a sense in it connects with the point that we made earlier about faithfulness. You know, we trust God. We believe in God.
Right.
So the best thing we can do is to come to God, to allow. There's a story that I once heard. And this person was using this as a sermon illustration, and they were saying a boy was crossing, was walking in town with his father. As they are walking, they get to the pedestrian crossing, and the father extends his hand and says, "Son, hold my hand." And the boy says, "No, father, you hold my hand."
Yeah.
The father says, "What's the difference?"
Yeah.
The boy says, "Father, if I hold your hand, it may happen that as we walk and I trip, I would let go of your hand.
Yeah.
But if you are holding my hand, even if I trip and fall, you won't let go
of my
hand."
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I think the best preparation for the future is to believe in God today, to surrender our lives to him and allow him to be the one holding our hands. You know, because we cannot think to prepare for the end while in the end,
right.
We cannot think to build a relationship with him then without having built a relationship with him now.
Yeah.
So we get into the word of God, we acquaint ourselves with this God, and we surrender to him. We place our confidence in
right.
him. We inspire ourselves with the hope that is filled throughout the word of prophecy.
Okay, got it. Loud and clear. Thank you very much, Mfunis. Appreciate it. See you tomorrow, same time, same place. Thank you very much once again for your time, Mfunis.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me once more. God bless you and blessings to the audience.
Thank you very much, Mfunis. Pastor Gregory Sare, for talking to us on our Grow Model, talking on the book, The Great Hope, The Final Showdown.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.